Verse 8 reads, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." The word of the Lord. Today we're privileged to have Reverend Isaac Kwan in our pulpit. He will be preaching on this passage and is entitled Pass It On. Pastor Isaac.
Well, good morning. It is really good to be here. Good morning. All right, you guys are awake. It's actually really good to be back in the Pacific Grace churches. This is like a homecoming to me of sorts. I was the pastor at Pacific Grace. Back then was in the Hastings commercial area for a number of years, and it is just good to be back and worshiping amongst all of you. I bring greetings from CIM. That's the missions organization that I am with, and the missions organization that your church sent a team to Ghana last year. My role with CIM is I'm their director of Ghana ministry. So my job is to lead and train and mobilize teams and bring them to Ghana. And last year, last May, I had a wonderful time just hanging out and seeing how the Lord works through people, especially the team that was sent from this church. And I have to admit that of all the teams that I have brought over to Ghana, this team here from this church had to endure the most, unexpected things. Almost every single day, things were happening that we did not plan. That was totally coming out from left field. Your pastor, Pastor Paul, is now known as Pastor Malaria. I kid you not. People come up to me, they can't remember his name, but they say, "How's Pastor Malaria?" But he is here. He is okay. He is in one piece. I'm just hoping Simo will let him go back to Ghana now. But it was just wonderful working with this team, and especially seeing how God worked through this team. They went to the village of Majeri. And what is so very special about this village is that this is a church over there that this church here supports. So this team was able to see firsthand, face-to-face, the church planter that, is on the same team as you guys. And what really is encouraging to me is I came here this morning, and I opened up your bulletin and I saw this leaflet where it says that Burnaby Pacific Grace will once again be going to Ghana next April 24th to May the 8th. And I would love to be able to take some of you guys once again to Ghana. I've been told that to carry malaria medicine for, like, not prevention, but, like, afterwards, if one gets malaria. And I don't know if you know this, but Caleb and I had a snake encounter also when we were in Ghana. I'll explain that maybe a little bit later on if we have time. So I was been told maybe I should carry some snake bite serum with me. So if you come, expect the unexpected. That was our motto. But hopefully God will protect us and we'll be safe and I'll bring you back alive, just like I did this past team. But that's April 24th to May 8th. Pray about it. Talk to team members that went last year and they can tell you a whole lot more about the ministry in Ghana and what they saw, how they saw God work, and more importantly, how God changed and transformed their lives as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you indeed are awesome. You're amazing. We love you very much. You are the God of all nations, and we love you, Lord. And as we come to you here this Sunday morning, we pray that you speak to us, help us to concentrate on all the things that you want to say to us, and help us just to listen with open ears and open hearts. Pray all these things in the most precious and wonderful name. Amen. You know, if someone were to come up to you and ask, "Are you wise?" how would you respond? Now, most people would not want to say that they are stupid, and they probably don't want to say they are smart because they don't want to sound conceited. But what about wisdom? If someone were to ask you, "Are you wise?" how would you answer? Now, what is wisdom, anyways? Now, Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, defines wisdom as having gained knowledge, understanding, experience, discretion, and intuitive understanding, along with a capacity to apply these qualities well. Wisdom is knowledge, but it is also understanding what to do with that knowledge and knowing what knowledge is the truth. And in today's world, we are bombarded with knowledge. Information comes at us in every direction, and with advancing technology, we will only receive more and more information. And with all the information that we have, we should be smart people. Man, we know a lot of things. And for the things that we don't, we can find out in a matter of seconds on the internet. But right now, I've got like scores every time, like for football games, the Seattle Seahawks, if, like every touchdown they get, like I get it instantly on this phone. We can get information just like that. But what do we do with that information? How do we process it? How do we apply it? How wise are we? If someone were to ask me that question, even though I want to say that I am wise, I would probably have to say that I'm not that wise. Because when I look at my life and I see all the mistakes that I've made, even when I have all the information, I look at all the stupid things I've done, even when I should have known better. One of them was, okay, I'll share the story. Do you guys know about the snake story? Okay. Caleb, I'm putting you on the spot. Okay, one of the unwisest things that I did when I was in Ghana was we were in our room and we woke up and there was a snake in the room, like about 2 feet from our head. Being the dumb, naive Canadians that we are, the first thing we did, both of us, man, we took out our phones and we went up to it and we started snapping pictures. I got pictures on this, I can show you. Our driver, he's in our bathroom taking a shower because he didn't have anything. He comes out, Caleb and I are showing, "Kandia, Kandia," and all that. Man, we were really close, man. And the driver comes out, he's half naked, okay? He doesn't say anything. First thing, he runs out of the room, he grabs a stick. We're still snapping pictures away, you know, seeing who can get closer. He comes and he starts bashing the head of the snake and he kills the snake. Then he looks at us. "No, that's a very poisonous snake. You're just stupid, man, taking pictures of it, you know? Like, the locals are running away. We're running up close trying to take pictures of it." And he goes, "If that snake had bitten you, you have about an hour and a half to get snake bite serum into you, or else you're dead." And later we found out there was no snake bite serum in the area, but unwise, very, very unwise. And I know, like, other people think that 5 years ago, I walked into my office and I saw these drawing on the wall with these sayings. It's in the PowerPoint. There it is. It was entitled "Words of Wisdom." Someone had put it on my wall when I wasn't around. They're just one-liners, but they were very, very helpful. Some of these one-liners included, "Don't put bananas in the fridge. Fish is a good source of omega-3. Don't take candies from strangers, but lollipops for me was okay. She used to give me lollipops. Fruit makes you strong. You know, eat lots of it. That's a very good wise saying. But my favorite saying, though, was, maybe you can guess, the person who takes the second last piece of dim sum is not a good guy. Think about that for a second. No, you guys, I know you guys are processing it right now. The person who takes the second last piece of dim sum is not a good guy. You know what? That is really a wise saying. But unfortunately for me, even though I know that saying, whenever I go out for dim sum, I'm usually the guy who takes the second last piece. And also the last piece, for that matter. You see how unwise I am? But today, what I want to do is, I want to give some words of wisdom, but it's not about bananas, candies, or dim sum. It is something, if taken, will have eternal significance. It is something that I am very passionate about, and it's once again something that is so very dear to me that if I don't share it, then I'm not doing my job. It's about missions. And it's something that I hope that all of us here will be doing, whether it is in our workplace, whether it is within our own family or our school campuses, overseas, or wherever God has placed you. And it's based on that famous passage that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 that you guys, that was just read a little bit earlier. And if you have your Bibles, I do encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 15, as we very quickly go over this passage this morning. But anyways, here are the wisdom one-liners. You can see it. It's already up on the PowerPoint. Number one, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Number two, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, both of these sayings are from verse 9. And most of us, we have that personal relationship with the Lord, do not have an issue with these two sayings. And if you do not have a personal relationship with Christ and want to learn more about what that means and how to do it, please talk to the leaders of this church. But overall, most followers of Christ do not have a problem with these two words of wisdom. However, here's the third saying from verse 15. Bring the good news to others. In other words, pass it on. Many Christians I find, or have come across, or a lot of them anyways, are closet Christians. We are happy that we've accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. We enjoy His blessings. We have confessed our sins and have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every Easter, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and that He was resurrected. Man, we have no problems with these sayings. But that third piece of wisdom advice, the one that tells us to pass it on, what we already know to others. Man, some of us have a problem with that. Man, we're happy with what we got, but we don't want to impose our beliefs on our coworkers or our schoolmates or even our own family members. We don't want to step on anyone's toes. We don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. And I agree. I agree that we have to be very tactful depending on the circumstance in sharing the gospel. But it still needs to be done. And some of the last words of Jesus Christ, as recorded in Matthew 28, was, "All in authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." And it's called the Great Commission. I'm sure you guys have all heard about that. And since the time it was written, people have been doing just that. Peter brought it to Jerusalem. Paul brought it to the various parts of Asia Minor and the Middle East. David Livingstone brought it to Africa. Hudson Taylor brought it to China. John and Charles Wesley brought it to North America. And if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, someone brought it to you. And the reason why I go to Africa is because of this word of wisdom. It is to pass on what I know for a fact to be truth for eternal salvation. And now, it's our turn to pass it on. For not only does it say in Romans 10 that those who call upon the Lord will be saved, but in verse 15 it states, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, when you think about it, feet usually is not the body part that we would consider beautiful. Most people, when they talk about beautiful body parts, would say maybe face, perhaps legs, but rarely will people say feet. Feet are usually one of the last body parts that someone will look at. But when used right, feet can be more valuable than gold, diamonds, or oil. And when the Apostle Paul first wrote Romans, the only way that news traveled were by the feet of messengers. They did not get information at breakneck speed like we do. They did not have the radio. They didn't have TV. They did not have any sort of telephone, whether landline or cell. In other words, they could not text one another. They had no internet, which meant they couldn't tweet, Facebook, or Instagram. They didn't even have newspapers. And the only way that important news traveled was by messengers. They were a crucial link to the communication process. And you know what? The best news in the world is of no value to others if no one delivers it. And notice how the verse uses the term good news. When we think of the news today, most people will think of bad news. And that's because when we turn on the newscast and watch it on TV or listen to the radio or read about it online, most of the news we see is depressing. War, terrorism, murder, rape, abductions, accidents, floods, so on and so on. Rarely does good news make it to the airwaves. So the picture of the newscast that the newscast paints, it's bad. It creates fear and it takes away hope in people. But this is not the type of news that this passage is talking about. The news that this passage is talking about can be found in verse 8 and following, where it says, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart, and that is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now remember earlier I gave you three words of wisdom? Those are the first two. That's the good news. And the way that this good news back then was brought to people was by messengers, people who believed the news, people who were transformed by the news. They passed it on, which is that third piece of wisdom. Today, it should be the same. This good news still needs to be conveyed by those whose lives have been transformed because of the gospel message. As I said earlier, many Christians, they emphasize the importance of believing in this risen Lord without stressing the necessity of sharing Christ through their works or their lives. And believing in the heart should always lead to a profession with the mouth in their lives. Christian faith, contrary to what some people believe, should never be a private matter. Today, if we have a personal relationship with Jesus, then we become the messengers. And we can use our beautiful feet to travel to tell others about Christ. Or by car, or by plane. We can use the technology that we have now. Man, that becomes our feet to bring the good news to people. I know people that have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through things like internet chat rooms and so on. But whatever the means, it is up to us to pass it on. But why us? Why do we need to pass it on? Why must we be the messengers? Well, not only because of the Great Commission, but because of the gospel has truly transformed us, we should want to spread this good news. And when people receive news that transform their lives, the natural tendency is to let others know. If it is truly something that has changed us, we can't help but let others know. And the first people that we should want to share the gospel is are those who are close to us. I call it missions within. These are the people that we care about. Why us? Why pass it on? Well, because God has placed people in our lives because we understand them better. And these people matter in our lives, and we have regular interaction with them. Well, man, we know what their goals are. We know what their fears are. We know what their challenges are. We have shared experiences together, and they also care about us. And even though they may not agree with everything that we believe in, most will at least hear us out. And God has placed these people in our lives for a reason. We may be the messenger that leads them to the Lord, or we may be part of a process that leads them to the Lord. And never, ever give up on these people. I have known many people who have tried to bring family members to the Lord, and for years and years, these family members have resisted. Some have even been insulted for their faith by family members. But through persistence and having the family members see their transformed lives, they came to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Some made these commitments on their deathbeds. But in every one of those cases, it was partly because of the relationship with their loved ones. Why us? Because God put us in families. He placed these people close to us. We are the ones who are the closest to them. We are their messengers. God has also placed friends in our lives. The same principle works for friends. I want to share an example from Bill Hybels, who's the senior pastor of the Willow Creek Community Church, one of the largest churches in the States just outside of Chicago. And he shares how one of his close friends came to know the Lord. About 15 years into his ministry at Willow Creek, Hybels was facing some very major pressures in ministry, and he just needed a break. So along with his family, that summer he took some time off and he rented a cottage by a lake. And one of his hobbies ever since he was a child was competitive sailing, and his goal was to do that for the summer. And after settling down at the cottage, he built some new relationships and was invited to join a sailing team. And with this group of people, but he was just one of the guys. It was not church-focused nor ministry-related. In fact, not one of the people on the team was a Christian. The leader of the sailing team was a guy by the name of Dave Wright. And when Dave found out that Bill was a pastor, he became somewhat concerned. And he didn't want to sail with a pastor. I mean, all the pastors, he knew, they're no fun. Man, they just try to pound the gospel message in and to convert everyone. And Dave thought that the fun would now be taken out of his sailing team. However, no, Bill did not try to pound the gospel message in. He was just trying to be himself and relax by sailing. But by being himself, people could tell that there was something different. And Bill led another member of the team to a saving relationship with Christ. Dave's wife also became a Christian. And as this was happening, Dave became more and more frustrated to the point where he pulled Bill aside one day and told him, man, don't mess around with people's minds on this team and tell them about all this God stuff. But this didn't deter Bill. Even though he did not speak to Dave that often about the gospel, he continued to pray for him, and their friendship grew. And as the years went by, Dave realized that Bill genuinely cared about him. And after Dave's father passed away, he finally started talking to Bill about spiritual things. However, he still wasn't ready to make the commitment. 7 years after they met, Bill and Dave had become basically the best of friends. And Bill could not imagine going to heaven without Dave. So one day, he just told him that. He could not bear the fact that he may not see Dave in eternity. Dave still wouldn't make that commitment, but Bill continued to pray. And a year later, at a Christmas Eve service, Dave finally made the commitment to follow the Lord as his personal Savior. And Bill was the first person he told. God had placed Dave in Bill's life, and over a process of 8 years, had used a wonderful friendship to bring a person to him. Why us? Why do we need to be the messengers? Because we have friends. maybe even close friends who do not know the Lord. And we may be part of the puzzle and the process that leads them to the Lord because we genuinely care about them and they too about us. That's the first reason. Second reason we need to pass on is because we have the resources. If we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have important resources to pass on. And it is something we definitely shouldn't want to keep to ourselves, for it can save someone's life. We need to let our light shine. We need to let others know. You know, a story is told a number of years ago. There was a train derailment in which a number of people died. Part of the track had been washed out as the train sped towards this particular stretch of track. And there was no way to communicate with the train or to slow it down. The railway company realized the imminent danger. They sent a man with a lantern to wave down the train. Now, unfortunately, this did not work. The train sped by the man with the lantern. It derailed, and a number of people died. Afterwards, there was an inquiry. The man was asked if he thought that the engineer on the train had seen him with the lantern. And the guy wasn't so sure, so he was asked another question. Well, was the lantern lit? To which he responded, well, they didn't ask me to do that. You know, if we have the resources and the tools, we are expected to use it. If we don't, there will be eternal consequences. A little while back, I had lunch with a Sunday school teacher. He told me that for years he had been going to church, soaking in more and more information, more and more resources. He had all the head knowledge, but something seemed missing. And it wasn't until he was asked to teach Sunday school that he figured out why. For years and years, he'd been accumulating the resources, but he hadn't been passing it on. Everything had been kind of stuck inside until he started to teach, until he started to share his resources. Now, he has now graduated graduate with a Master's of Divinity, and just last week, he left me a message, and now he is becoming a full-time pastor. Now, he wants to continue to share what he knows. Now, I'm a geography buff. Those who know me knows I like maps. In fact, I read maps. I memorize maps. You know, if I'm in a bookstore, I go to the maps. You know, I don't go to the magazine. Some people think I'm kind of crazy, but I like maps. You know, I even like looking at the maps that can usually be found at the back of a Bible. And there one might see the Sea of Galilee and also the Dead Sea. Now, these lakes are similar because they are both landlocked lakes, which means they are inland from the sea and surrounded by land. But there's also a significant difference between them. The Sea of Galilee has both an inlet and an outlet for the Jordan River. Water flows into the lake, and then it flows out. The water is in constant motion, and as a result, the Sea of Galilee is alive with fish. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, only has an inlet. The water just kind of stops when it gets to the Dead Sea. None of its water ever finds its way out into the ocean. And the result is that the Dead Sea is lifeless, with such a high concentration of dissolved minerals in it that's not even fit to drink. And that's why they call it the Dead Sea. And in a similar way, a Christian who only has an inlet is going to be a dead Christian. And no matter how much sound teaching we hear, no matter how much warm fellowship we enjoy, no matter how much pastoral care we receive, no matter how many Bible studies that we do, if it does not flow out to those around us, the people that we see every day, we will be like a reservoir without any taps to supply, generators to turn, or rivers to feed. We may be increasing more and more in knowledge, and maybe even in fellowship, but we will become more and more stale. And we need to tell others about Jesus and what he has meant in our lives. And if we have Jesus Christ in our lives, then we should want to share our contentment and resources with others. Now, the next question I want to pose is this: what do we need to pass it on? Starting in Romans 10:14, Paul answers this question. He asks the Romans a set of rhetorical questions, questions that they know the answer to, questions that are still relevant in today's society and that we should know the answer to. He asks, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear about someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And from this passage, firstly, to pass it on, we need to confess and believe. People will not believe unless they know that we are sure of our faith. And we need to truly believe that we are sinners and are separated from God the Father, the one and only true God of the Holy Bible, Yahweh God, who loved us and created us in His own image. We need to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, was sent to this world to die for our sins and become the bridge back to God. We need to realize that after He was crucified and that on the third day He was resurrected, and because of that, we can have eternal life. That's what we need to believe. And we have to truly believe that. Many of us, you know, especially those that have grown up, you know, in the church, you know, we can recite all this stuff, but it becomes sort of like just something that we recite. Do we truly believe it? Does it really transforms us? Now, secondly, we need to proclaim. Paul's next set of rhetorical questions are, how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? It is up to us to proclaim the word of God. And by proclaiming, we are basically solidifying what we believe in our own understanding. And we need to share it. Now, when we have to explain and articulate something, we have to process it through our own heart and mind before we pass it on to somebody else. And because we have done that, it solidifies our own beliefs too. It's kind of like when we're teaching something to someone or leading something, we end up learning so much more than we teach because of the preparation. So by proclaiming, we're also solidifying what we believe. And by proclaiming, you know, a lot of people, we believe, well, to preach and to proclaim the word of God, you know, it's the pastor's job, or it's a missionary's job, or it's a spiritual gift. Well, yeah, as servants of God, we need to preach. But preaching is telling others what we know. It's sharing what God has done in our lives. But it's so much more than just standing up here and giving a sermon. And I'm sure that each one of us here can share what Christ has done for them. Our lives, the way we live, should be the sermon. The word proclaim means to call out, to make known, to declare openly or publicly. And we must be excited to share this good news. There was a tribesman who became a Christian during the century. After he converted, he asked whether or not Jesus had been on earth for a long time. When he was told that the gospel had been around for 2,000 years, he was overcome with grief. And he wondered why it took so long for missionaries to bring them the gospel and why nobody had told his forefathers this wonderful news of salvation. Man, are we guilty? Are we guilty of keeping the good news to ourselves? Now, we need to proclaim and pass it on. Now, Paul's last rhetorical question is, how can they preach unless they are sent? Thirdly, we need to fulfill our task, and that task is to pass it on. And we need to evangelize to our friends, our family, our fellow students and co-workers. And I encourage all of us to do that, but it must not stop there. We need to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, as it says in Acts 1:8. We're all here for a reason. And I believe that part of the reason is to teach others and to share with others what we have learned. Some of us will be called overseas. Some of us will stay right here in Vancouver. But we need to send or go. I mean, what is our vision? Is it congruent to God's? And in the final part of verse 15, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. Said it earlier, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Feet bringing good news implies movement. But what does that mean? It means we have to take the first step. We have to put one foot in front of others. We need to go somewhere. And for some of us, that means we got to get out of our seat and go and pass it on and tell others what we know to be fact. Tell others about what Christ has done in our lives. We can be part of God's plan in motion. Beautiful feet that brings good news. Now, Romans chapter 10 is a wonderful passage. There's so much more I can say, but because of time, I'm going to end it off soon. Romans 10 is a challenge for all of us. It reminds us that unless we share the good news, people won't hear it. Unless people hear about Christ, they won't believe his death and resurrection. And unless they believe, they won't call on him. And unless they don't call him, they won't be saved. And you know, every time I see those fun words of wisdom that was posted on my wall in my office, it brings a smile to my face. But now when I see it, it will also remind me of the words of wisdom found right here in Romans chapter 10. Words of wisdom, which will have a far more eternal significance. Once again, number one, it's confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Number two, it's believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And number three, the essence of what this passage is saying. Bring the good news to others. Pass it on, no matter where you are, whether it is like with your friends, your family, or if you've been called overseas. Pass it on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being our Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving us the opportunity and also the mandate to pass on this gospel message. And Father God, we want to say to you today that yes, we will pass it on. We will tell others how you've transformed our lives. We want to tell others that we love you and we will go wherever it is that you take us, speak to whoever it is that you place in our path. The good news of Jesus Christ. We want to pass it on. We pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Seems to never end. So deceive by those who pretend. Lost control, left going cold. Sin take hold, and darkness grows. Here now in this end time, that is not divine. If your life as is sacrificed, with faith and hope, who those who grow with love built and loveless and soul, stand for this word. The boundaries of the earth, we will know the ends of times. Our Lord, we praise and glorify. Send for his word, may his converse say his word. No mountain, no ocean, no kingdom, it is God.